Okay, good morning and a good night, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim daf Chav Hey. We are holding on daf Chav Dalaram base, 4 lines from the end of the page. Ella Hada Amar Rava. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer. In honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to talk about whether the Kemitza and the Kiddush Komets require Yamin, require the use of the right hand. Because we were in the middle of the discussion of any time that it says etzba or kahuna or both, that's an indication that something requires yamin. And that conversation is going to take us to the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about what if some of the blood spills from the animal before the Kabbalas Hadam. Can you still use that blood? And the Gemara is going to discuss a number of limudim that we have from the phrase midam hapar. And then the Gemara is going to talk about what one does with the blood that's on the knife, meaning after a person does shechita, the knife is somewhat bloody. So we know what we're supposed to do with the dam that you catch in the mizrak, but what are you supposed to do with the dam that is on the knife? Then the Gemara is going to, on Amud Beis, the major sugya is the sugya of Avir Shasofa Lanuach. What if something is in the airspace above an area where it's supposed to be? Do we view it as if it has already landed in the area that it's supposed to be? That's going to come up with regard to dam, as well as with regard to mechatas, the water that they use for the para aduma. And then at the end of the daf, the sugya that appears is if a mum is made on an animal after the shechita and before the Kabbalah. So what if they did the shechita and right before the Kabbalah someone cuts off the animal's ear or something like that? So do we say that since the Kabbalah's Hadam is being done on an animal that's a Baal Mum, that is somehow problematic even though the animal's already shechted? Or do we say no, Shas Shechita is what matters? So let's begin 4 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Ella Hada Amar Rava. Just to review, the Chacham said that if either the word etzpa or the word kahuna appears, then we know that you need to use the right hand. So that which Rava said, when the Pasuk describes the taras hamitzora, that's where the Pasuk actually talks about the right. That's where the Pasuk actually says, beferish, that you put al tnuch ozen hamitar hayimonis, al boen yado hayimonis, al boen raglo hayimonis. Everywhere else where we learn right is only from mitzora. By mitzora, it actually says the word Yamanis over and over again. Now, there are 3 extra times that it says the word right, that it says the word Yamanis when it comes to Mitzora, Rashi points out, because the Pasuk already says in the prior dinim, before it started talking about putting the shemen of the Mitzora Ashir on these right, on the right ear and the right finger and the right toe, before it ever spoke about that, it had already said about the Dama Asham. And it said that you put on the right, and it said you put the shemen al dama asham. So we already know it's on the right side. So that's what Rav is dealing with. Not only that it says by mitzora that everything's on the right side, but it repeats by mitzora that everything is on the right side. And therefore Rav says that these words are clearly there for a gezerah shava. That yad yad lekemitza. We learn yad yad from mitzora to kemitza. That just like mitzora has to be on the right, since there's an extra word yamin by mitzora, it's mufna l'gzereshava. It's open to make a gzereshava to kmitza, that when you take the komets of the korban mincha, it needs to be with the right hand. Regel, regel l'chalitza. Regel appears by mitzora and regel appears by chalitza. So we learn that the chalitza has to be on the right foot of the yavam. Ozen, ozen l'ritzia, and it says right ear when it comes to Mitzora. So we learn, where else is there a din of an ear when it comes to the Ritziah of an Eved Ivri that he decides to stick around with his masters? They have to pierce his right ear, that it's Dafka the right ear. So the question is, Lamali, why do I need a limud by Kemitza that has to be with the right hand based on the Gezerah Shava of Yad Yad the Kemitza? After all, Mit Rabba Barbar Chana Nafka. Shouldn't I already know it from the rule of Rabba Barbar Chana that anytime it says Kohen, coin or etzba, it always means yamin. So it says kahuna by kamitza. Why do I need a limud of yad yad to tell me that it has to be yamin? Says the Gemara, chad lekometz v'chad lekiddush kometz. That one of the limudim is there to tell me that the actual kamitza itself needs to be done with the right hand. That you take three fingers full with your right hand from the kli shares. And the second limud tells me that the kiddush kometz in the kli shares is done with the right hand as well, which Rashi explains to mean that an additional kohen holds the kli shares in his right hand, and the kohen who had taken the kmitza places it into that kli. So the guy holding the kli that you're placing the kometz into also has to be holding the kli with his right hand. That's what Rashi says. Rashi in Maseches Menachos and Daf Yud says that no, when we say kiddush kometz, we mean that not only the taking of the kmitza needs to be with your right hand, when you subsequently place it into the kli, you also need to continue to use your right hand. It's not about the guy who's holding the kli. It's all about the guy who took the kmitza. When he takes it, it's with his right hand. When he places it, it's with his right hand. Not abundantly clear why Rashi switches. Pashtus is that it all needs to be done with the right hand, but not clear why Rashi switches to explain what kiddush kometz means differently in Menachos than he does in Meseches Zvachim. So we said that one of the limudim that will require yamin is for kiddush kometz. However, there is a machlokas amoraim within the shita of Rabbi Shimon whether you actually need kiddush kometz at all. Meaning, we had a problem. I have two limudim to teach me right hand by kamitza. So he said, oh, no, not a problem. One of them is about kiddush kometz. And now the Gemara says, not everyone agrees you need to do kiddush kometz. So if you hold, you don't even need to do a kiddush kometz. What are you going to do with the extra limud? Well, Rabbi Shimon to lo bai kiddush kometz. According to Rabbi Shimon, that you don't even require kiddush kometz by a korban mincha. Ulaman diyamal Rabbi Shimon nami bai kiddush kometz bismalach shuri machshir. And even the shita that learns within Rabbi Shimon that you do need kiddush kometz, but what's unique about shita's Rabbi Shimon is he holds that you don't need to do with your right hand. You could do kiddush kometz with your left hand. So therefore, yad yad derav alam lisa. Now we're back to our kasha. Why do I need this special gzeira shava of yad yad to teach me the right hand? I already know that ila kmitza atzma, if it's about that you need to do the actual kmitza with your right hand, like we said, I already know that from Rabbi Shimon, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says, why is Rabbi Shimon is machshir haktaras hamincha without a kli shares? Damar kra, because the pasuk says kodesh kadoshim he kachatas v'cha asham. So we compare the korban mincha to chatas and asham as follows. Bala ovda biyad ovda biyamin. If you're going to do the avoda biyad, then you got to do it with your right hand. Kechatas, just like the zrikas hadam of the korban chatas has to be with your finger on your right hand. Bala ovda bekli ovda besmal. But if you want to do the avoda with a kli, then you're allowed to do it with your left hand. Ke'asham, like the zrikas dam of an asham, which is done with a kli. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that's kosher with the left hand. And memela, you see that a kohen is allowed to do the avodas hamincha. He has the option, either biyad or bikli. So bottom line is that the avodas hamincha that are done biyad need to be done with the right hand. And that's the makar that the kmitza has to be done with the right hand, because it's done biyad. So anything that has to be done biyad, enochinami has to be done with the right hand. So the actual kmitza you can only do by hand. So that's got to be done with the right hand. But the kiddush, according to the kiddush, even according to the shita, that you have to do a kiddush kmitza with, again, Rabbi Shimon, we're not sure what he holds. Either he holds you don't need a kiddush kmitza at all, or he holds you need a kiddush kmitza, but it doesn't need to be with the right hand. So the kiddush kmitza for sure doesn't need yamin, according to Rabbi Shimon. So what do we learn from the gzeira Rishava of Yad Yad? What does Rabbi Shimon do with that Gzei Rishava? So says Gemara, Lo Nitzrucha Ela Lekometz Minchas Chotei. You're right, it's not about the Kiddush HaKemitza, it's about the Kemitza itself. But we said we already have a different limud to tell me that the kmitza itself needs the right hand. The limud that the kmitza needs the right hand is because bala of the biyad, kichatos of the biyamin, that anything that's done biyad has to be done with the right hand. Yeah, salka de techamina, but I mean, the chiddush is that that's even true for the mincha of a chote. Salka de techamina, I would have had a hava amina that yes, there's a limud that anything that you do biyad should be with your right hand. But maybe that's not true by the mincha of a korban chote. Maybe the idea that you need to take a kmitza with your right hand is not true by a chote. Why? Hol va'amar Rabbi Shimon. Since Rabbi Shimon says that the reason the Torah does not require a minchas chote to have shemen and lavona, to have all the fancy stuff, all the dressings that make it nice, shelo yehi korban muhudar, because the Torah specifically does not want the minchas chote to be a beautiful korban. Why should this guy, he's a chote, why should he be able to bring a beautiful karban? So kikam sabasmal nami tiskasher. So I might think we just lower the bar on whatever is required when it comes to minchas chote. So let him do it with his left hand. Let him do it with less hidur by doing it with his left hand. So kamash malan. That's the extra limud of yad yad. So enachinami, I need two limudim just to tell me that the kmitza itself needs to be done with the right hand. Nothing to do with Kiddush Kometz, just that the Kemitza itself needs to be done with the right hand. One for every other Korban Mincha, and one for a Mincha Schote, because there would have been a Hava Amina that a Mincha Schote does not require the right hand. Period. Now we begin a new Mishnah. Nishpach Adam ala Ritzba va'asafo pasul. If the dam of the Korban spills all over the floor before it was ever caught in a Kli Shares, and then you gather it together into the Kli Shares, it's pasul. Now, if it was Niskabel in the Kli Shares, and then it spilled from the Kli Shares onto the floor, we're going to have a Mishnah in about a week from now that's going to tell us that that's kosher. That is not going to be a problem. And if some of the dam spilled, and there's more dam, hanefesh, that's still in the animal, still in the neck of the animal, so then you're allowed to be mekabel that dam and be zorek that dam. That's what the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Psulei HaMikdashin. So Kes Mishnah points out that even though we're going to see that there's a requirement to do Kabbalah of Kol Hadam, how could the Rambam say if some of it spilled on the floor, you could just catch whatever's left in the neck of the animal and go and proceed with the korban? Don't you need to catch Kol Hadam? So the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, the Chachila, you need to catch Kol Hadam. B'diavet, if you missed some of it and it landed on the floor, catch whatever's left, and that's fine. Kesef Mishnah then says, well, once some of it spilled on the floor, whatever dam is left in the neck of the animal is now Kol Dam Hapar. It's all the dam of the par that remains. Oh, a little bit of a difficult teret, but just like you have a din, that if Nishpach, it's possible, yeah, whatever you have by Zvachim, you almost always have a parallel by a Korban Mincha. So what would be the parallel by a Korban Mincha of Nishpach Hadam, right? By a Zevach, there's dam, there's blood. A flower doesn't bleed, right? So what's the parallel of Nishpach Hadam by a Korban Mincha? So the halacha is, if the kometz of the mincha, the kmitza that you took out, gets scattered and spills before you put it into a kli, it becomes pasul. The kmitza that you take by the Korban Mincha has the same status as the dam. That's the mechaper. So that has the same status as the dam of a Zevach. So just like dam of a Zevach that lands on the floor before it ever lands in a kli Sharis is pasul, so too the kmitza of the mincha that lands on the floor before it ever goes into a kli sharis is going to be pasul. In Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, Rabbi Chaim points out that the two psulim though are not 100% parallel to one another, because when it comes to the psul of dam that falls on the ground, there are two issues. There are two dinim. One is the psul in the avodas hakabbalah that in order to do a valid kabbalah sadam, you need to have a kabbalah directly from the korban. It needs to come directly from the neck of the animal. The second din is a psul in the guf hadam. It's a din not in the avodas hakabbalah, but in the chefza shel dam, that the dam itself becomes pasul. That so long as the dam went somewhere else after it left the neck of the animal in a place that it cannot be niskadesh, that dam becomes nifsal l'mizbeach. It is no longer viable from the mizbeach. By kometz, we only have that second din, that it's a psul in the guf hakometz, but it's not a psul in the kabbalah of the kometz, because it doesn't say anywhere that you need to be makabel the kemitza in a kli dafka from the hand of the kohen and not from somewhere else. So there is no din of kabbalah when it comes to the kometz amincha. There's only the din that the heftz of the kemitza can become possible if it goes somewhere else first, but not that initial din. So that's how Reb Chaim dissects the difference between the dam of the zvicha and the komet of the mincha. But bottom line is, the Mishnah just said a very simple din, that if the blood just goes straight on the floor before being caught in the kli, that blood is pasul, and the carbon is therefore pasul. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa as follows. Pasuk describes the dam of the parchatos of the Kohen Mashiach, of the Kohen Gadol, v'lokach ha-Kohen Mashiach midam apar. So we see from there that it says midam apar. We darshin that you need to be mekabel and be zorek dafka midam ha-nefesh, the dam ha-nefesh of the par, meaning the dam that that the life leaves the par with. There are four sets of blood, so to speak, when you shecht an animal. First, there's like this little bit of blood that's very, very black, and then comes red blood that squirts out, spills out, and then you have a kiluach that can squirt a great distance of blood. You have it shoots out much further, and then after it, comes down a little bit, the kiluach stops, and it goes back to being shoses. It goes back to dripping out and not squirting anymore. So there's a machlokas amoraim in Krisus, which of those is the dam hanefesh. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the third dam. It's the dam that squirts a great distance. According to Reish Lakish, the second dam is the dam hanefesh. So, okay, but whatever the definition of dam hanefesh is, we're darshaning over here, lakach hakoyin mashiach midam apar, that he needs to, the dam that he uses for zrika must be the dam hanefesh. V'lo midam or v'lo midam tamtzis. It cannot be the dam of the or, nor the dam of the tamtzis that comes out at the end, after, step four of dam is the dam tamtzis, the blood that continues to pour out later on. That is not valid for the zrikas hadam. Midam apar, another joshua we make, dam mehapar yikablenu, that the kabbalah has to be directly from the neck of the par, but dam that comes from somewhere else, that you that your makabel from somewhere else is going to be pasul. Now the Sfasemis points out, well, wait a second, what's going to make it pasul? The rule in Kachem is that if the Torah tells me in one place that something is a problem, so then it's a din lechachila to avoid that, but not that it's pasul. You need shana alav hakasav la'akev in order for anything to be ma'akev in Kachim, you need it to say it twice. Where does it say it a second time that the dam has to come directly from the par? So the Sfasemis writes that it is shana alav la'akev, because there are many times that it says the word midam in the parsha. V'loka hakoin midam achatas. So we darshan dam me'achatas v'lo me'aritzvah. Right? We darshan the fact that it says that phrase many times, that it is as if the Torah repeated it several times. So again, din number one is which dam of the shechted animal is kosher for zrika, the dam and nefesh. Din number two that we learn from dam apar is that the dam has to go straight from the par into the kli. It cannot make a stop somewhere else along the way. Because if you're going to think midam apar is kipshuto, that midam filu mitzastam, that you could have even that midam means you don't need all the dam of the par, you could just use some of the dam of the par. V'ha'amarav ha'shokhitzor shekabalas kol damo shel par. That can't be what the pasuk means, because Rav taught us you can't just use some of the dam of the par. You need all of the dam. Shenemar ve'es kol dam apar yishpoch. Ella, so it must be that we're not supposed to understand this pasuk kipshuto, but rather midam apar dam me'apar yikablenu, that you have to be mekabel the dam directly from the par. V'kasavar, and the Tana's assuming, how do you get that from the phrase midam hapar? Meaning, what you're really trying to tell me is not midam hapar. You're trying to tell me din is you need dam mehapar, that you need the dam straight from the par. Mi dam apar would sound like some of the dam of the par, but we know that's not true. You need all of the dam hanefesh of the par. So what is, how can we make such a drasha when the Torah says midam hapar, it does not say dam me hapar, because kasavar garden mosif and vidorshin, that this is one of the midrash haTorah and drashas ben, that you could take a letter off of one word, I assume this is one of the midrash haTorah and drashas ben that needs a mesorah, right? Just like a gzerah shavah needs a mesorah, you can't just make up your own, so you can't just start moving letters around in the Torah, but this is one of the midrash haTorah and drashas ben, that with a proper mesorah, a person could take a letter from one word, attach it onto another word, and it gives a new meaning to the phrase, and we darshan that lahalacha. So instead of midam apar, it's as if it says dam me hapar, that the dam has to come directly from the par. Okay, gufa. Now we're going back to something we just mentioned. Amar Avidom Rav Hashochet Zorik Sheikabel is called Domushal Par. Shem Rav has called Amar Par Yishboch. Derech Agav we mentioned before. They have to be mekabel all of the dam and nefesh of the par. So vaha b'shirayim k'siv. But wait a second. The pasuk that we use as the proof text that you need to be mekabel all of the dam of the par is not talking about the Kabbalah Sadam after the Shechita. It's talking about pouring the leftover dam onto the Mizbeach, on the Shirayim, onto the Yisod of the Mizbeach, and not the Kabbalah Sadam. So how can you make a drasha from that Pasuk that when you do the Kabbalah Sadam, you have to catch all of the dam apar? So says Gemar, yeah, but Imeinu Inyan L'Shirayim, Talaysi L'Kulei Dam, Tineu Inyan L'Kabbalah. This is another one of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. If the drasha appears in a place where it can't possibly be used, so then we just take that drasha and apply it elsewhere. So it cannot mean that you have to pour all of the dam of the par into the Yisod HaMizbeach because you don't have all of the dam anymore. You already did the Zrikas HaDam, so much of the dam has already been used. So obviously it doesn't mean you need to pour all of the dam into the Yisod HaMizbeach as the Shirayim. So therefore, where do you need Kol HaDam? Oh, let's bring that back to Kabbalah. That back of the Kabbalah HaDam, you need Kol HaDam. Another drasha that we make from the phrase midam hapar, Amar Avidom Shmuel, Hashochet Zorik Sheyabia Sakin Lemaila, that when the person shechts a karban, he's got to lift the knife up, he's got to lift the knife up right away after the shechita in order that none of the dam will fall from the knife into the kli that you're doing the Kabbalah Sadam. Now, as Sfasem points out, that sounds like only a din l'chachila, right? The lashon is Tzorik Sheyabia Sakin Lemaila, but not Shelo Yabia Sakin Lemaila. Puzzle, right? Meaning not that it's puzzle, adin l'chadchila, because it's never shana olav la'akev, and probably whatever dam is on the knife, even though it's puzzle to use for zrika, it's probably batel in the dam that you actually catch in the kli, but in mevatnis l'chadchila, so we try not to do that l'chadchila, so you got to lift up the knife in order that the dam not drip from the knife into the kli. How do I know that? Shenamra, because the pasuk says, v'lokach mi dam hapar, v'lo mi dam hapar davar acher. You got to take dafka from the dam apar, but not with a mixture of damapar and damasakin. Those are considered two separate damim. They're considered two separate sets of blood, and therefore you should not have a mixture of the two of them. So how many dinim did we learn so far from midamapar? First of all, we said it's got to be the damanefesh. Midamapar has to be the damanefesh. Second of all, we said that the dam has to come straight from the par. It cannot stop anywhere else. It cannot land on the floor or anywhere else. It's got to come straight from the par. And third din we learned from midamapar is that it's got that the damasakin is not allowed to mix in with the damapar. So you got to lift the knife up to make sure that the blood doesn't go in to the kli. Tosus raises the question: why do I need the brisa to tell me that dam that falls on the that dam that spills through gorud and mosif and vidorshin? You know that it's dam mehapar, etc. Even if you understand the pasuk kapshuta, we should pasul it because from the fact that it says damapar. We're memayit dam davaracher. So if dam hasakin is davaracher, dam haritzba is for sure dam davaracher. Meaning, why did I need the other drasha where I had this fancy way of taking the mem and moving it from here to there? Once I'm going to say mi dam apar means dam apar and not dam davaracher, then obviously dam that spills on the floor is no good, because if dam on the knife is considered davaracher, dam on the floor should also be considered davaracher. So Tosus writes that the dam hasakin is is worse than Dama Ritzpa, because it's on a kli. It's in a kli shares. The Sakan itself is a kli shares. Whereas if it's Nishpach al Ritzpa, so there was nothing, there was not Niskabel anywhere yet. So I would have thought that you could still do a Kabbalah Sadam in the kli with the Dam that's on the Ritzpa. Alternatively, Tulsa says, Eina Chinami, from Midama Par, we could have been Mimayit Dama Ritzpa, but had we done that, we would not have known to be Mimayit Dam Hasakin as well. So in order that I should be able to learn both Dama Ritzpa and Dama Sakin, I need two separate drushas. But bottom line is that we have three drushas so far from the phrase Midama Par. We have the idea that you need the Dama Nefesh, we have the idea that the Dam has come straight from the Par and cannot land on the floor, and we have the idea that the Dam on the Sakin is no good either, and therefore you have to lift up the knife. So says Gemara, v'dam sakin b'may mekaneachle. How do you get the blood off of the knife? Meaning, mistama, you're going to want to use the knife again to do another shechita, and you can't have a filthy knife with dam all over. So how you can get the blood off of the knife? L'chora, to just be mekaneachle, to just clean it with a cloth or something, is a bizui. That here you have, it's on a kli shares, it's on a knife, and you're going to clean it with just a random cloth? That l'chora is a bizui in kachim. Some rabbaye, b'sfas mizrak. You use another kli shares, namely the edge of the mizrak of the cup that you catch the dam with. So, but you do it on the outside. So you scrape it along the outside edge of that cup, so the dam doesn't land in the cup. But you cleaned it off using a clay shares. Kedichsiv kipari zav, like it says about the mizrak adam, that it's kipari zav. Kipari sounds like some sort of cleansing. So the cup itself does a cleansing. What does it do a cleansing of? It does a cleansing of the knife. Amar chisam Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba hashochet. When a person shechts, he's got to put the neck of the animal directly into the kli, directly above the airspace of the kli. Only then do we consider it to be a fulfillment of dam mehapar, that the dam is coming directly from the par. But if the pipes of the neck of the animal are not directly above the kli at the time that you're shechting it, and you only bring the kli into place afterwards to be mekabel the dam, it turns out that when the dam initially started emerging from the neck of the animal, it was not at that point destined to land in the kli, and that's not considered dam mehapar. That's already a psul, meaning dam mehapar needs to be so direct that you need to place the kli right by the animal's neck, bishash shechita. It marnami, and we have a statement that says along the same lines, that Amar Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan, vridin sarach shiru avir kli, that the vridin, the pipes of the animal that you're going to be cutting, need to be in the airspace right above the kli at the time of the shechita. So, by me, Rabbi Asim, Rabbi Yochanan, hayi mekabel v'nivchasu shli mizrak at shelo yedam la'avir. Let's say you were being mekabel dam with the mizrak, and then the bottom of the mizrak came out before the dam went into the avir akli. Mahu. So, what's the din? Avir shein sovel lenuach kumunach dami. Do we say that airspace of the kli, even though it could have never ended up landing in the kli, because the whole bottom of the kli came out, so it was going to go right through. But do we say that that's considered that it was munach in the kli because it was in the airspace in the kli? Alav kumunach dami. Or do we say no? It was not. It was never meant. It was never destined to land in the kli, and therefore it was never as if it was in the kli, and therefore we treat it like dam that spilled on the floor, meaning that it's going to spill on the floor either way. But if it spills on the floor after being in a kli, you could pick it up and use it. If it spilled on the floor directly from the animal, you can't pick it up and use it. So what do we consider that? You hold the kli, the dam went right through the kli, but the kli was hollow, meaning it bottomed out. So the bottom came out. So do we consider the dam that as dam that came from the kli, or do we consider that as dam that spilled directly onto the floor? So Amalei Tenisua, he says, well, we have a brisa. It says that solves this problem for us. Brisa talks about by the collecting the water that they need to make the Efer Parah Aduma, Chavis Shemunachas Tachas Hazinok. If you have a barrel underneath the stream that's coming off of a mountain, mayim shebetocha v'shebechutzel apsulin, the water in the barrel and the water that's outside of the barrel but is above the barrel is going to be pasul, because the halacha is that you need mayim chayim for paraduma, and the very first kli it's collected in has to be the kli that you're using to be mekadish l'shem paraduma. Over here it's just a random barrel that we're talking about. So it's an external kli that's not part of the process. So that's going to passel it. So whatever's in the barrel is going to be a problem. But not only whatever's in the barrel, any water that's in the airspace above the barrel is going to be a problem. Tziref piel lezinok. If you put the barrel right by the pipe that the water's coming out of off of the mountain, so mayim shebetoch psulin, then we say whatever mayim is already in the barrel is pasul, but for shebchutzula, whatever mayim is still just in the pipe and hasn't gone into the barrel yet, ksherin, that's going to be kosher, because so long as it's in the pipe, it's not considered to be in the airspace of the barrel, so it's therefore not considered to be part of the barrel. So the first half of this brisa is the answer to the question. Just like water that's found in the airspace above the barrel is considered to be in the barrel, so too the blood that's in the airspace of the kli, even though the kli bottomed out, is considered to be inside the kli. Says the Gemara, that is a terrible raya. That's not what we asked about. Hai mai, bai minei avir she'ein sof alenuach. The whole shaila about the dam is not, is the dam in an airspace of a perfectly good kli considered to be placed in the kli? If that was the shaila, then you had a good answer. That was not the shaila. Shaila was the bottom of the kli was gone, and the water was, and the dam was never going to land in the kli. It was always destined to go straight through the kli. We wanted to know if that counts as if it's in the kli. And you give an answer from a barrel that's perfectly intact, where the water above the barrel is going to land in the barrel. What does one got to do with the other? So it says in Tarti Kabayim Yei. Really, the Shaila was a two-part Shaila. That first he asked about what if the Kli doesn't have a bottom. And if you're going to tell me that if the Kli doesn't have a bottom, it's not considered to be inside the Kli. What about Avir Shesofa Lenuach Mai? What about if it was Avir Shesofa Lenuach? What if the Kli did have a bottom, but the blood did not yet land in the Kli? It was just in the airspace above the kli. So that was the second shaila. So the answer from the brisa was on the second shaila. It was not on the initial shaila. Rav Yosef Masni Hachi. Rav Yosef learned the whole Shakla Vitaria the way we just explained it, whereas Rav Kahana Masni, Chavis Boy Mine Upashale Chavis. Rav Kahana said that the original Shiloh that was asked was never about Dam in a Kli. It was always about Mayim Shesofam Lenuach, whether it's considered Kamunach Dami or not when it comes to the Mechatas. And Rabbi Yochanan gave an answer from a Braisa about the barrel, about the water for the Mechatas. So the whole discussion was about Mechatas. Rabba Masni, Rabba had learned this conversation, that chavis ba'minei, that the initial shaila was not about the dam, it was about the barrel with the water, upashal emizrak. And he answered him based on the din of the dam of the korban. Iyatamoda b'mizrak, where essentially what Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Asi is, don't you agree when it comes to the mizrak that the dam that's above it in the airspace is considered to be as soon as it leaves the neck of the animal, as if it's already in the kli, because it's sofa lenuach shi'ef shalom below zinuk, and even though it's not possible not to have some sort of kiluach that across the width of the kli, because the dam doesn't fall directly on the spot, it doesn't go straight down when it comes out of the neck of an animal, it's always mekaleach, it always squirts a little bit to the side, so it's going to go in the entire width of the kli. So if avish hasofa lenuach is not kemunach dami, it turns out that it entered into the kli from the avir and not directly from the neck of the animal, and the Torah says it's got to come directly from the neck of the animal, so it must be that sofa lenuach bekli is considered kemunach betocho, that as soon as it leaves the neck of the animal, since that's where it's destined to go, it's considered as if it's there. So the same should be true when it comes to the barrel that you put underneath the pipe that's catching the water for the mechatas, that the mayim that's destined to land in that barrel is going to be considered as if it's already in the barrel, and therefore it's pasul the mechatas. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah and proves from it that that which is in the avira kli is considered to be placed in the kli already. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Parah that, let's say you have water coming down from a mountain that you have a barrel catching the water, and the water doesn't fall directly straight down, but nasan yado o raglo o ali yarakos. You put your hand or your foot under the water, or you put leaves that are ra'i la'achila and therefore are makabel tuma, vegetable leaves like a spinach or something like that, and it creates like a spout that directs the water into the kli. So kadeshi yavru mayim l'chavis, in order to direct the water into the barrel. That and the barrel, the barrel we're talking about now is a good barrel. It's a barrel that they dafka want to use for mechatos. So it will not passel. The barrel itself is not going to passel the water for mechatos. Up until now, we've been talking about a barrel that's not intended for the mechatos, and therefore just by being in the barrel, it's a psul. Now we're talking about the barrel is good. Question is, did this water come straight from the mountain into the barrel, or do we say the fact that it went through your hand, your foot, your food, your leaves that formed the spout, does that ruin it? So psulim, it's going to be pasul. But aleikanim valia gozim ksherin. But if it's reed leaves or eggos leaves, they're going to be kosher. The water is still going to be kosher. Zaklal davar mekabel tuma psulin davar shen mekabel tum ksherin. If it went through that which is mekabel tuma, then it's pasul for mechatas. But it went through that which is not mekabel tuma, it's kosher for mechatas. Minani mili, what's the basis of this din? Da amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yosi baraba amar kra. The pasuk says ach mayin ubor mikva mayim yetar havyasan al yidei tahara tehe, that it has to come about through something that's not mekabel tuma. So any mayim that's metayer, like mechatas, has to be that it enters into the kli l'shem the kiddush of the mechatas dafka through something that's not mekabel tuma. Amr Rabbi Baraba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zosameres avir kli kikli dami. From the Mishnah, you see that from the moment the water is in the airspace connected the kli, it's already viewed as if it's inside the kli, because otherwise we shouldn't have passed when it goes through the hands of a person, because the mayim doesn't fall into the barrel in the very spot where it comes out of the hand of the person. It obviously squirts out a little bit through the width of the barrel and goes to some distance. So it turns out that the hand of the person didn't direct it into the kli. From the hand of the person, it went into the avir, and from the avir, it went into the kli. So you have to say that as soon as it comes out of the hand of the person and it goes into the avir that's connected the barrel, that's already considered to be directly in the barrel. So therefore, it's considered to be that havyasim bidei adam, and that's what makes a pasul. Maybe the Mishnah is just talking about that the water is going straight down into the barrel in the very spot where it comes out of the hand, and it's not mekaleach; it doesn't squirt, and therefore you have no raya about avir. So amalei tarda, he says, you crazy, confused person. That's what Rashi says. Shota bahul, you crazy, confused person. You're responding too quickly. You're not thinking about things. Kadesha yavru mayim l'chavis tanan. The Mishnah says kadesha yavru mayim l'chavis. Havara sounds like it goes from the hand to the barrel with a kiluach, not directly. Havara sounds like that there is some distance, there is some squirting, there is some distance that it has to travel, and therefore it's a good raya. You shouldn't have responded so quickly. So whenever you have like an expression like that, you always look. There's a tshuva in the chavis yair, where the Chavis Yair has someone, he discusses why it is that Chazal were so mean to each other, that they always have all these not nice things, not nice names that they call each other and things like that. And he tries to explain that all of them are really nice, that there's nothing that's not nice. Chazal spoke benachas, and they spoke nicely to each other, and whatever sounds like it's mean is not really mean. Unless there was like such a difference in terms of level of the two Amoraim that we're talking, where it was mamash chutzpah for the younger one to respond so quickly. So that's how he accounts for this one. He says it was just not right for Rabbi Zeira to speak to Rabbi Chiya Baraba in that way. So Rabbi Chiya Baraba called him out on it. So he called him a tarda. But otherwise they were always very nice to each other. It doesn't sound that way from Shas, but that's what the Chavis Yair says. I think it was that there was a sichsuch that the Chavis Yair was trying to adjudicate a dispute, and someone sent him a letter, like a 15-page letter full of insults. So he was discussing whether that's really the derech to speak in insults, or one of the people in the sichsuch called the other one a shaita, and the other. So is that just the way rabbis speak, or is that not appropriate? So he says we don't have a makor on Chazal for that. That from the edus Rabbi Tzadok we learn the following mishnah. There's a mishnah Maseches Eduyos. Eduyos is full of eduyos. It's full of teachings of Tanaim that we otherwise would have forgotten, but the Chacham got together in Karen B'Yavin and they said, oh, I could be made that this was said, I could be made that that was said. So one of the Eduyas was, hey, Rabbi Tzadik al HaZochlin, Rabbi Tzadik was made about the Zochlin, about water that that goes down, that flows down a mountain, Shekilchen Ba'ale Agozin, that it went through the airspace through Ale Agozim into a kli that that they wanted to use to be Mekadish the Mechatas, Shem Ksherin, that's perfectly kosher. Zehaya Maisa, Ba'ohalia, this was a Maisa in a place called Ohalia, and they came to the Sanhedrin Agadol, Belishchas Agazis, Vichshiru, and they said that such water is perfectly valid for the Mechatas. That there's nothing wrong with using that that water for the Mechatas. So, okay, we're at a good stopping point. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up with the sugya of making a mum in the animal after the shechita and before the Kabbalah and the Zrika. Everyone, a good night.